In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Sometimes you have to personalize it.
What the living does, because he lives.
Sing it one more time as you reflect on the words.
Because I know, oh, he owns my future. My life is what the living does, because he lives.
Because I know,
oh, he owns my future.
My life
is worth a living just because he lives.
Lift your hands, wave it to him, and tell him thank you. Lift your hands, wave it to Jesus, and tell him thank you for the cross, for the grave, but even more that you arose. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your great name. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Sing it to him.
For his mercy endureth forever. Amen. For his mercy endureth forever.
Oh, Shaka.
For his mercy,
for his mercy, good and your mercy is forever. Hallelujah. You are good and your mercy is forever.
Hallelujah.
One more time. Say you are good and your mercy is forever. Sing it to him.
Hallelujah.
Declare to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is worthy of our praise. And you are good, and your mercy is forever.
Hallelujah.
Come on, you matter. Lift your voice and declare. For you are good, and your mercy is forever. Lift up a prayer of thanksgiving in a minute. So much to be thankful for. So much to be grateful for. But even much more because he arose. And because he is alive, we have the victory. Thank him for his mercies that never fails. Thank him for his compassion that fails not. Close your eyes if you need to avoid distraction. Open your mouth and raise a prayer of thanksgiving. Speak to God as though he's right there before you. And thank him. Thank him, Pneumatek. Thank him. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, we've gathered again. This time around, we celebrate the death and the resurrection of your son Jesus. What you did with your son Jesus on the cross is the greatest proof to us that you love us. Is the measurement of your love for us, that you sent your only son to die. But thank you because he didn't die and remain in the grave. He arose and is alive. And because he is alive, we will live also. We thank you for victory that we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your presence in this place. And thank you because you will bless us in a mighty way. Let all the glory return to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Can you clap your hands for Jesus Christ, the only one who died and rose again? The only one who died for something. And what he died for has brought life. Celebrate your Lord, your King, and your Master. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord for Easter. Amen. I was preaching somewhere yesterday and I told them there are many people in history who died for nothing. Who died for a cause that was not just. Including Titanic. Because that lady married somebody else. Abby, is it two of them that died? The guy died. She'll marry somebody else. Don't die for any other person. No, Jesus has died. Amen. When, as the Muslim people call him, when Prophet Muhammad was about to die, you can do the research. One of the last things he said in a conversation to his daughter, Aisha, he said he's not sure of where he's going to, but that they should hold on to the teachings that he has given to them. Hopefully, they will all see the other side. When Buddha was to die, he told them, I'm still searching for the secrets to life. But before Jesus died, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He knew he was going to resurrect. He told his disciples, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come back, not if I come back, when I come back, he knew he was going to conquer death. And because he lives, we shall live also. What a God we serve. Put your hands together once again for Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you happy to be in the presence of God? I'm excited that we are here. Pneumatech always promises to be an amazing time in the presence of God. And I trust that today will be exceptional. In Jesus' name. Before you sit down, celebrate the worship team. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Please be seated. God bless you. Can we get to the word quickly? I wanted to teach on something. A very powerful subject. But as I was meditating on it this afternoon, I realized that we need to talk about resurrection, first of all. Since we are in Easter, in the spirit of Easter, and become aware of what God has done through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that will be the foundation for the teaching that we should have heard today, which we will hear perhaps next week if the Lord agrees for us to do that. Amen? So I had to rush down a message for us today. We'll just speak briefly and then we will pray and trust God that by the revelation of his word, certain things will be activated in your life. Your amen is too weak. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. So we'll skip that teaching for maybe next week. If by next week God is saying another thing, we'll just go to that thing and then wait for the day God wants us to hear that. But it's something really powerful that I thought was going to add to our understanding in the things of God. So for today, let's talk briefly on the power of resurrection. The power of resurrection. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Forever He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Sing. Jesus is alive. Oh, He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Let's sing it two more times. Say He's alive. Amen. He's alive. You say
Jesus is alive.
Oh, He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Would you say with me?
Jesus is alive. Forever
He's
alive.
Oh, He's alive. Amen. He's alive. There's something that we need to know and understand about resurrection, because resurrection is at the root of the Christian faith. The reason why we are called Christians, the reason why our faith is different from other religions, is hanging on one thing: resurrection. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, and in verse 10, for if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. So when Jesus died on the cross, mankind was reconciled to God. Our sins were taken away from us and we were declared righteous. And we had access to the Father. But if the one who came to die for our sins remained dead, what He did for us would have been invalid. Now, when you open a savings account, they get you an ATM, an ATM card, and there is a procedure to activating that ATM card. Otherwise, it will be invalid. Is that true? Even if there is up to 100 million naira there, if you have not activated that card, you can't transact with it. And that's what resurrection did. Yes, on the cross, Jesus died for our sin so that we can be reconciled to God. But for that to become a reality, He needed to defeat death. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. If He had overcome sin, He needed to overcome death, so that what He did for us will be of meaning to us, and so that we can live and experience the life of God that is now in us. The power of resurrection. We'll discuss briefly and then we'll pray. I pray tonight that God will give us understanding. I pray that God will give me the words to communicate this revelation to us. And I pray that you will not just hear the sermon, but that the very power and the life of this word will enter into you. By the time you see, oh, your amen just died. That by the time you rise up, you will live and experience all the benefits that has been made available because of the power of resurrection. In the name of Jesus Christ. No Christian should live a beggarly life if they understand the power. power of resurrection. If after this sermon you go back and your life is still ordinary, it was your decision, it was your choice. He died so that we can live a victorious life. And I thank God that this is our year of victory. That means that every time we gather together, we must explore from the word of God the things that make for our victorious living. And it's not just so that you hear a good sermon, but that your life will begin to reflect it. This afternoon, I got a call from somebody. I still don't know the person. He said, we have met. What was the problem? He said, somebody is here manifesting demonic possession. And she has been manifesting since Monday, but they've not been able to cast out the demon. Now, when you don't know the power of resurrection, you live a defeated life. And once the devil knows that you don't know, he will play with you. Obviously, at that time, I was not ready to do any deliverance on phone because I was going to pray and prepare for the service. So I told him, do this, do this, do this in the name of Jesus and she'll be free. And I kept the phone and went to pray. When I came back, I saw his text message. She's free. And the text message came barely an hour after our conversation. In fact, about 30 minutes or so. Why do you think I was so sure that she'll be free? Because I know what Jesus did for us when he resurrected. And when you know it, no devil in the world can cheat you otherwise. You see, what gives us an edge and authority over the devil and his cohorts is not really how many hours we pray. That is good for your spiritual build up. It's not really how long you fast. Every spiritual exercise is good, but if you do it void of the knowledge of resurrection, and the power that now belongs to believers on account of the resurrection of Jesus, all that thing that you will do will be useless. I told the person on the phone, I don't know if he's even here. I told him, I said, demons are not scared of your prayers. Absolutely no. The only thing that will make your prayers make meaning before a demon is when that prayer is coming from a mind that understands the authority and the victory secured for them by Christ Jesus. Listen, there are many things the devil may not know, but he knows when you know. He knows when you know. Once there is light, he knows. And I tell you that most times the devil is not ready for a fight with someone that has acquired light. Please don't take what I will share casually. Otherwise, tomorrow, somebody may fall in your office. Don't reach out for your phone to call me. What you will hear today will be the formula for victory. In the name of Jesus Christ. You sound like you are not interested. Thank God for resurrection. Where do we start from? Okay, Philippians 3 verse 10. Philippians 3 verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Among the many things that Paul wants to have an encounter with in his walk with God, he says one of such is to know the power of his resurrection. Let me tell you something. Your growth in the kingdom and your life as a believer will be dependent on, first of all, how much of the God that saved you and whom you serve, how much of him you know, and how much of what he has done for you in Christ Jesus. I've said it before that knowledge is the cradle of transformation. What will transform you from a weakling to a mighty man? From a poor person to a man that is walking in wealth and riches? From a coward to a champion? from an ordinary believer to one that carries the very image of Christ. That transformation begins from knowledge. The Christian faith starts from the place of knowledge. There is so much you need to know. In fact, that is why Bible studies is important for a young believer. Don't pray more than you know. Learn the balance. Pray as you learn and learn as you pray. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's so much we need to know. I told that guy, I said, the realm of the spirit and demons, the realm of the spirit is command compliant, and demons respond only to command. Command that comes as a result of knowledge. Now, when you are speaking by authority, even you will know, because you know, you are conscious of what you know. And as a result, you will exude confidence as you speak. You don't need to tell a general or ask a general if he's a general. A general knows he's a general. I watched a documentary. Somebody was going around interviewing wealthy people, successful people. And he stopped one man who is a wealthy man too. He asked him. He says, sir, please, when did you become a millionaire? Or when did you make your first million? I think when did you become a millionaire? When did you start becoming a millionaire? The man said, you will have to ask a millionaire that. The interviewer said, excuse me. He said, because I'm a billionaire. I paused the video and I looked at that guy and said, this is not pride. This is confidence. You are asking a billionaire questions for millionaire. Well, every shoe has its size. Are you hearing me? So the amount of authority that you exercise as a believer is going to be based on how knowledgeable and how conscious you are of what Jesus did when he died and he resurrected. And it is on the strength of that that heaven can be at your beck and call. It is on the strength of that that demons can hear you and obey. One person can say in the name of Jesus, come out, and the demon will be strolling around. Another person can come and the demon just leaves. I watched somewhere a man of God was saying something of a story of a madman that was brought to Pastor Kumuyi. And Pastor Kumuyi's pastors brought the madman. He was chained. So when they brought the madman to Pastor Kumuyi, they were trying to explain to Pastor Kumuyi the situation, the case. Perhaps they've been praying and, you know, and all of that. And of course, they were spiritual people. While they were still talking, Pastor Kumuyi said, leave him. And instantly, the madman fell on the ground and slept. While the guys were still trying to explain. So when they heard Pastor Kumuyi said, leave him, they thought he was talking to them to leave the madman. Meanwhile, the demons in the man heard faster than the men and left. Now, if you don't know what God has done for you, if you don't operate by the power of resurrection, demons and life will ride you. Everywhere you go, spirits will know that this one has little confidence because they lack knowledge. And that's the kind of Christianity that I'm crying against, where people only come to church and don't care to know until there's trouble. Every trouble around your life sometimes may be a sign of ignorance. You are here today for God to cure that ignorance. So today we are going to reflect a little on this thing we call the power of resurrection, and we are going to stand up and pray. We will pray it into our life and pray it out of our life, so that everyone here following online and seated will begin to live and walk in total victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Resurrection is the essence of and life of the new covenant. Resurrection is the essence and life of the new covenant. What is the new covenant? That Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for the complete remission of sin. He paid the price. He took our sin on himself so that we can be declared righteous and justified before God. And so that we don't have to pay the price for sin, which is death. Not only physical death, but death that is separation from God into eternal damnation. That is the new covenant. But the essence and the life of that covenant, what makes it come alive, what activates it, is resurrection. Do you understand what I'm saying? That means be without the power of resurrection, the new covenant that we claim to stand and believe in as believers is of no effect. You know what makes a blood covenant powerful? The presence of a spirit, or the life force of a spirit. That there's a spirit when blood was shed and a contract was enacted. There was a spirit to witness it, and the spirit is the one that will consummate the power of that covenant. For instance, if a guy and a girl slit their hands, and you know how they do it. I don't even know whether they still do that thing. But that's foolishness. You have not prayed about the person, you are doing blood covenant. Amen. So, if they do that, join the blood together, I don't know how they do it. What makes that covenant powerful is that there was a spirit there, whether they knew it or not. Blood attracts spirits. Because the life of flesh is in their blood. And the greatest form of worship is when a life is offered. Worship is not what you are doing here. So we lift up holy hands. It's more than that. That's an expression of worship. But true worship is when a life is offered in surrender to a deity. So when you pour blood, you are summoning the spirit realm. One spirit must be there to consummate, to receive that worship, to accept that agreement, and to become the binding force. So what is binding those two people is not the blood that they shed, it's the spirit that consummated that blood. That's why when the guy runs away from the girl, travels to UK and marry another woman, and starts posting his picture online, the spirit will not rush immediately. After a while, the wife cannot give birth. After a while, things start falling apart. And the guy will start going to churches. And if the devil bless him, that the pastors he's going to don't have enough spiritual insight, they will fast and pray and starve themselves for something that he did. What's happening there is a spirit is enforcing that covenant. The same way when Jesus shed his blood, a covenant was enacted. The covenant for our salvation, for our redemption. Now, the Spirit of God is the one that consummates that covenant. He's the one that marries us with Jesus. He's the life force that brings into effect and reality the covenant of the blood of Jesus that has brought salvation. That's why you and I can profess that we are Christians, and the realm of the Spirit will comply with all that belongs to us as a child of God. Why? You were not there when Jesus died. Were not there when he shed his blood. But when you confess him as your Lord and Savior and believe him in your heart, the Spirit of God that was present when Jesus died and shed his blood comes again to activate that life in you. And so without feeling, you are now born again and a child of God. You now carry the life of God in you. And when the devil sees you, he knows that you are a major threat to him. And in all these things, you didn't feel anything. Why? Because resurrection is the essence and the life of the new covenant. That's why it was important that he had to resurrect. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 to 4. Let me prove to you from the Bible. If this was a minister's conference, I would have brought many scriptures to really prove to you that Jesus resurrected. But we'll streamline it to just a few. for the purpose of understanding and to save time. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll read verse 3 to 4, and then we'll read verse 12 to 23. Please pay attention as we read. The words will speak to you. For I deliver to you, this is Paul the apostle speaking, the one who saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't there when Jesus died, but Jesus appeared to him many years later. Why? Because Jesus is alive. That Jesus can reveal himself to people in different ways is one of the proofs that he resurrected. Because if he was dead up till now, there is no way that people can have encounter with Jesus. Even Muslims, even imams have seen Jesus. When was the last time you saw Muhammad? With all due respect to their religion. Let's continue. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Let's go on. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. No, we've not finished. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith is also empty. Let's continue. Yes, and we have found false witnesses of God. That means we are lying. That means everything we are doing is a game. If it is true that Jesus didn't resurrect. And we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. That means we lied against God. If, in fact, the dead do not rise. He said, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, means empty. You are still in your sins. Are you seeing that? So what even activates the forgiveness of our sins? The power of that is rooted in the resurrection. Because how can you have victory over sin if Jesus died in sin and could not resurrect? Continue. Leave my face till we finish. Then also those, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man, small letter M, came death, that's Adam. By man, capital letter M, that is the last Adam, Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. Somebody say amen to that. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Verse 23 and the last. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Somebody shout amen. Amen. So Paul in this chapter is trying to answer a debate amongst the Jews. There are many Jews who believe that Jesus didn't resurrect. Yes, he was one of those prophets. But they didn't believe that he would. In fact, you know, that was one of the reasons why they tried to arrest him. They said he blasphemed, that he would die and resurrect. And nobody could do that. But it was necessary that Jesus would resurrect. Because the power of our faith, what makes our faith, the Christian faith, different from other religions, is that we are not professing theory. We are professing reality. That the one we are following is, he didn't find the way to God. He is the way to God. In fact, he is God himself. He came in human flesh. He died by taking the sins of the whole world on himself. And he resurrected to prove that he has overcome sin and death. So that we who believe in him can now walk in victory over sin that killed him and death that held him at the grave. Somebody say amen to that. That's what gives our Christianity essence. That's the reality of our faith. That's the power behind my preaching. It is because of this resurrection that God can appear to an illiterate in the village and raise him as a preacher. And as he preaches the word, God confirms it with signs. Why? Because the one he's preaching about died and resurrected. Listen, every other religion, no matter what you preach, where the line is drawn is demonstrate the reality and the efficacy of what you are saying. Their own just ends in preaching. Paul said that my speech and my preaching was not in the excellency of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's why fishermen, uneducated fishermen who saw him alive, could stand boldly and preach and lift up a man who was 40 years old, a cripple, and brought him alive. Why? Because what they were preaching was not theory. What they were preaching was not what the Pharisees knew. They were preaching reality. That the one that we are talking about that died, the proof that he died and resurrected and has brought forgiveness to us, is all of these things you see. So the miraculous that backs up the preaching of the gospel, if we go for crusade now and you see the sick healed, like you have seen here, you are even getting too used to miracle, that sometimes during miracle service you just sit down and we don't see him before. The reason why we can see that and boast is because the one who preach is alive. If he was dead, none of those things can happen. Somebody clap your hands and shout hallelujah. That's the difference between Christianity and others. Others may be a religion. Christianity is life. Jesus didn't die to give you religion. Anybody could do that. In fact, they didn't need to die to produce a religion. I hope you know, if you study the history of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, as he is called, what we call Islam, and they may not want to agree with this, but if you study the history, you will discover it. His wife was a Jew. A Jewess. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, that thing is a combination of a mixture of Judaism and some of his self-professed beliefs. Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. He said that a spirit appeared to him in the cave. No problem. Your lights are off here. He said a spirit appeared to him in the cave and gave him this and gave him that and gave him this. No problem. But for somebody who takes up that religion now, what is the proof that what your Oga said is true? It's going to be that there be a manifestation with you that reconciles with what happened to him. That's why Jesus resurrected. So that when we tell people he's alive and they say he's not alive, we can demonstrate his power, the same power that rose him from the dead, and prove to them that what happened 2,000 plus years ago is real and not just a story. And that's the reason why you must walk in the miraculous. That's why you must walk in the power of God, because it is the greatest proof of what we profess. You may not need it now, but by the time you travel to an Arabian nation, or you travel to a godless nation one day, maybe you relocate and you migrate, or you are called into ministry, and you go to a place where there is need for you to prove that this Jesus they are speaking about truly died and resurrected, then you remember this message. Let me share with you one of the apostles of the faith, Thomas, in John chapter 20. When Jesus appeared to the other disciples, Thomas wasn't there at first. When Thomas came, they said, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said, "Kai, na lie. You think I believe when he was saying he will resurrect? Forget that, you know. I was just following because na him be the main person. And because we'll never be hungry when we are with him. But resurrect? For you don't know what you are saying. Nobody can resurrect. You know what it means to resurrect? You die cold and then you come back again. It has never been known. That's not what happened to Lazarus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's not what happened to the widow of Zarephath, her son. They were restored back to life. They didn't resurrect. Resurrect means you die and you by yourself come back to life.
Restoration of life is somebody dies and his soul is called back to his body by another person on earth. Because the law of territory is that it will take somebody on earth to call somebody back to earth. That's restoration. That's not resurrection. Jesus said, I go die and I go come back. Death had him. The devil had him. In fact, do you know that when Jesus died, all the demons relocated from earth to hell? Let's prove wrong what he said. But Satan will always come out as a fool when he tries to contest with God. Who can stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. Who can stand against the King? No one can. No one will. Oh. Victory belongs. Sing it one more time. Oh, 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 oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to me. They told Thomas, they said, we have seen the Lord. He's alive. Thomas said, except I put my hand where the nails. I saw the nails. How did he see? I'm sure from afar. Because it was not there when they arrested Jesus. They all ran. Except I put my hand in the nail prints on his hands and touch where the spear pierced him. And then the next time they were together with Thomas, Jesus appeared. He said, peace be to you. Thomas, touch my hands. Handle me, for it is me. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, you see, or you believe because you see. But guess what? More blessed will be those. More blessed will be pneumatic. Who were not there, but they saw, or but they believed. You now see why he's moving more powerful in our days. We were not there, but we have been enough faith to believe him. Can I tell you something about that, Thomas? Many years later, according to Christian history, he traveled to India to preach the gospel. He entered a village. And the God of that village is in the water. He said he was going to preach the gospel of Jesus to them. They told him, except you do something supernatural that our God cannot do. India, oh. You know where be India? That's the Benin city of... You know, you are licensed to practice as a witch internationally when you have been groomed in Benin City for some years. If you have practiced witchcraft there for some years. They said, except you do something supernatural that our God cannot do. If not, you are not preaching here. You know what Thomas did? He told them, take me to the river of your God. They took him to the river. He used his hand, scooped the water, threw it in the air, and the water suspended on the air and didn't come down. He turned and looked at the village and they all bowed down and he preached Jesus to them. The whole village was saved. If their God was truly alive, why did the water not go down? That was the same Thomas who doubted. You see what resurrection can do to a man. You see what the power of resurrection can do to a man. It transforms a weakling and it makes you a mighty man. It makes you confront the very things you run from. Why? Because he's alive. And the same power that rose him, that was dead, is the same power that can quicken you who is alive. And you can stand and speak over situations and they must give way. Somebody shout hallelujah to that. Let's continue. Luke chapter 24, verse 36 to 48. Oh, let's do Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, first of all. He said, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. I wanted to teach about ascension. We'll talk about that next week. After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. He didn't just show them that he was alive. He performed certain miracles. For instance, the miracle of John chapter 21, when he appeared to them on the Sea of Galilee. The Bible says Peter and six other guys had gone to fish. No Jesus, no food. So they had to take back their profession. And they went all night and caught nothing. And of course, on the Sea of Galilee, the best time to catch fish was in the night, because the waters were still. Because the Sea of Galilee was almost like a lake that was surrounded with land. And then in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore strolling. And he asked them, "Children, have you caught any food, any fish?" They said, "None." He said, "Cast your net to the right side." Excuse me. On water, is there a difference between the right and the left? There's no difference. It's not because there was fish on the right side. It's because the one who is alive said, "Cast your net." I'm sure he was trying to remind Peter that the first time you ever caught the greatest catch of your life was because I spoke. Remember, Luke chapter 5, Jesus said, Peter said, "We toiled all night and found nothing." He said, "But at your word." Peter, did I ask you to go back and fish? No. I kept you here so that I can commission you as an apostle to the whole world to share the power of my resurrection, and through you souls will be saved. Peter ran to fishing. So Jesus came back to tell him, "You don't move until I tell you to move." And when Jesus said, "Throw your net at the right side," they caught fish. Guess what? The first time in Luke chapter 5, they caught so much fish and the net was breaking. You know why? Because Jesus had not gone to the cross. He had not died and resurrected. So all the miracles that Jesus did before the cross was on credit system. Now let me explain something to you. Please listen. Are you listening at all? Let me explain something to you. In accounting, of course, on a ledger book, basic accounting, you know, there is credit and very good. Debit is how much you spend. Credit is inflow, isn't it? So, think of the cross as the great divide. Jesus before the cross and Jesus after the cross. Jesus before the cross had the Holy Spirit. Yes, he was the Son of God. But he was not yet Christ. He was Son of God because that was his nature. But he was not yet Christ, because Christ was an administrative position that will belong to the one that can pay the ultimate price for sin and will be exalted above every other creature that God had made. That's why when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," it was a prophecy. That's why Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father in heaven." You saw well that I'm the Son of God, and you saw well that very soon, because of what I will do and will ascend to heaven, I will now become Christ. Christ is the sole administrator of the purposes of God in heaven, on earth, and in hell. In other words, all about the will and the purpose of God is executed by that one office. Thus, the person that occupies that office has the power to manipulate every and anything according to the will of God. In fact, that office does not need advice from God. Hi, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I'll take you somewhere, don't worry. You see, that's why God is not moved by what the devil does around your life. There's something about God. In fact, using the word manipulate is weak. God can stop anybody at any time. God can position anybody to do his bidding at any time, including the devil. In fact, if God wants, he can stop the devil from being devil. Do you understand? The reason is because he's the life of everything. You can't do beyond the life that is in you. The reason why you behave the way you behave is because of the life that is in you. If you are going around stealing from people and God has had enough and it is his good pleasure that he converts you from a thief to becoming a preacher, that life that is inside of you that you are using to steal, he knows what to do to that life, and you wake up and renounce stealing and turn to him. There's no manipulation as strong as that. Maybe that's why maybe that's why God was enjoying the game between Pharaoh and Moses. Let my people go. No, no problem. God could just appear to Pharaoh and Pharaoh say, oh yeah, go, go. In fact, we are all going. But God decided to enjoy because he manipulates everything according to his will. Nobody can stop him from doing what he wants. Nobody can question. Who gave you the mouth to question? Is it not him that created the mouth? He says, shall an axe boast to his maker? Or a wood or clay to the potter? So, based on what Jesus will accomplish on the cross, he was going to occupy that position of Christ. Now, before the cross, Jesus worked miracles. Jesus healed. Jesus delivered, isn't it? But he didn't do those things as Christ. He had not gone to the cross. All of those things came on humanity as a result of sin. The Bible says, through one man, sin reigned in all men. And with sin came death, sickness, affliction, poverty. All those troubles that needed divine intervention came because of sin. So until the ultimate price for sin was paid, you can't completely deal with sickness, deal with disease, deal with affliction, deal with poverty, deal with depression, deal with death. You can't deal with all those things completely until you have dealt with sin. All of them came on sin's trailer. And Jesus was yet to deal with sin on the cross. So every miracle he performed before the cross, it was on credit system. I will pay later. So as the woman with the issue of blood touched him and she was healed, what happened was he took her sickness and he put it on his credit to pay later. That's why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8 and in verse 18 that when Jesus, give us that scripture, start from verse 16, Matthew 8, 16. Matthew, you say First Samuel, the power of resurrection come on you. See, they are laughing at the media stand. He said, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon possessed, and he cast out the spirits in plural. How? With a word. Leave them. And healed all who were sick. How could he accomplish all this? He said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities. He was going to suffer what the woman of the issue of blood suffered later. So when she touched him, there was an exchange. She took his life, he took her sickness. But God didn't put all those things on him until he went to the cross to pay for all those people he healed, to pay for all those people he delivered. You now see why he was bold enough, even when he was alive, he would look at somebody and say, your sin is forgiven. It was credit. I will pay later. It's like somebody takes you to today. Take anything you want. Make sure you don't lack grocery. And tell them at the counter, whatever it takes, I will pay. You know what? You will break into song. Today, oh. I'm sure you will start with that. Some of you have been eyeing that wristwatch session. That's the place you are going to straight away. Straight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when he went to the cross, God put the sins of the whole world on him. That affliction that left the woman with the issue of blood came back for him, saying, hey, you go suffer. Because one person has to suffer it. And he died on the cross. Now when he died, he had paid the price for sin. So affliction, depression, demonic oppression, satanic attacks, poverty, all these things that humanity is suffering, the moment Jesus died on the cross, he had paid. He had suffered them. They became illegal on earth. And now that he has resurrected, everything that should happen to you as a believer should now be past tense, not future. It's not like those guys that he was going to pay later. He has paid. That's why the Bible says, by his stripes we were. So when you come into the kingdom, you are not coming to learn what Jesus is doing for you. You are coming to learn what he has done. It's like backlog of salary that they've not paid you. And then you come and just clear everything. They backdate. God will backdate your experience today. Everything that is owed you by heaven, after this service, God begins the back payment for it. For some of you, it is wealth, poverty into wealth. For some of you, it is sickness into health. For some of you, it is enough of depression and into joy and peace. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Power of resurrection. Luke chapter 24, verse 36 to 48. We are closing now. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. You see, when he resurrected, it was as if he now had unlimited power. Before Jesus died, he didn't have unlimited power. He didn't have unlimited presence. He didn't have unlimited knowledge. Those things were not with him. He depended on the Holy Spirit for everything. That's why when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, he didn't know who touched him. He knew power left, but he didn't know who touched him. If he was all-knowing at that time, he would have known that it was the woman who touched him. And if he was all-knowing by that time, he was not qualified to go to the cross, because it was a man that needed to die. Yes, he had the nature of God in him as a spirit, but he came as a man and suspended his God qualities. If he was all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful, he couldn't go to the cross. A God could not die for man. If man sin, man should pay the price. But when Jesus resurrected, those things were restored. So he could be anywhere at the same time. Imagine two guys walked 7 miles away from Jerusalem. Do you know what 7 miles is? Do you know how many kilometers that is? They walk away. It took them the whole day for that journey. They met Jesus. When he broke bread, he disappeared. When they went back, they went and saw him with the disciples. That means he was there and here at the same time. Just like he's here. But you will receive if you are conscious of that. He's not more here than he is in your closet. So God does not really increase anything to us. It's we that need to increase our consciousness or our awareness of who he is. Let's read on. Let's finish the reading before we pray. Jesus stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened. And suppose they had seen a spirit. How can you see somebody standing before you and say it's a spirit? And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" He said, "Behold my hands and feet, that it is I myself." It's not a scam. "Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones." He didn't say flesh and blood. Because when he died, all his blood was drained. For the remission of sin. So when he resurrected as flesh and bone. No blood. Why? Because he didn't resurrect as a natural man. He resurrected as the heavenly man. It is flesh, but it is not the flesh that has sin. It is flesh, but it's not the flesh that is subject to sickness. What a mystery. You know why I'm breaking it like this for you? I want to show you the dynamics of the power that is in you. Let's finish. A spirit does not have flesh and bones. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Go on. But while they still did not believe for joy, I can understand. Imagine if you have credit alert and you see 13 million. And the highest alert you have seen before that time is 100,000. You'll be confused. You will sing 5 songs at a time. Today, oh, what shall I render? What? Eh? Let's finish up. Are you blessed? But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of grilled fish. How many of you like grilled fish? Tomorrow is public holiday. Go and grill it and eat. If you don't have, eat bones. And praise the Lord. You still have resurrection power. Or branch, where's Circular Road as you are going now? You see, as I don't talk now, many people go there. If I tell some of you that heaven is behind this place, and you go. So now I've said branch Secular Road. Some of you, some women are now telling their husbands for the first time that Apostle said. Apostle also said you should be reading your Bible. Read your Bible. It's not only fish. Let's finish up. How did I get here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. That he is alive. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Somebody say, thank God for resurrection. So I told you, number one, that resurrection is the essence and life of the new covenant. Our faith in Christ is in vain, and our hope of eternal life is cut off without resurrection. In Romans chapter 14 verse 9, the Bible says, Christ, who both died and raised and resurrected and lived again, that he will become the Lord of the quick and the dead. Number two, our existence as recipients of the new covenant. Our existence as recipients of the new covenant and life will be powered by resurrection. Will be powered by resurrection. The same power that raised Jesus is the same power that will be behind our existence. That means that you are supposed to live now as a believer on the strength and the basis and the revelation of the same power that raised Jesus from dead. Romans chapter 6 verse 4, as we round up. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. You remember this scripture from last week. That just as, how many of you know figure of speech? Keep the scripture. Figure of speech in English. Simile is the use of as and like for comparison. Now it says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5 explains it more. It says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, that means when he died, we died with him, and at such we died to sin. In the likeness, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. That means the same way Jesus resurrected from the dead, and death no longer has power over him. He resurrected to a new life, a life filled with amazing wonders and superhuman possibilities. Is the same way you and I as believers, we are supposed to experience that reality every day of our lives, because the power at work in us is the power of resurrection. Now that you are born again, the power that made you born again is the power that raised a dead body back to life. Think of it. If that power can raise a dead body to life, if that power comes into a living body that is sick, what should happen? Is there anything stronger than death? That power conquered death. And that's the power that should be alive in us. He said, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness. Everything about your life becomes new. If any man be in Christ Jesus, is a new creature. You now forget about the poverty of your foundation. Forget about the crisis of your background. Forget about the ancestral cause or depression or whatever it is. You forget about it. You have been resurrected to a new life that keeps you above and beyond those things. By default. Yes, the demons of your father's house are still there, but you have been resurrected to a new life. A life that they can't understand. If the devil understood resurrection, the devil should be resurrecting people by now. The reason why till today he runs when we call the name of Jesus is because he thought he knew all of God. He thought he knew all the mysteries of God, but God kept many things hidden from Lucifer while he was still with God. One of those things was resurrection. You know, Lucifer never thought of anything called resurrection because it was not in God's plan that anybody will fall to sin and die. It was Lucifer that came and introduced sin. Because what he saw from God's plan, God is a wise God. What he saw from God's plan was that if I make these people rebel against God and sin, their own salary will be death. Their doom will be death. And once that is sealed, nothing can be done. It is appointed for once for man to die. And after the death, he saw that he came, deceived Eve and Adam, and they fell victim of sin. And they were subject to death. Oh, but God was so wise. He had seen everything before time. And he had, the Bible says, the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation. Okay. You are going to die for sin. No problem. But let me see how you come from the grave. Ah, Satan. There's so much you didn't learn when you were with me. For instance, you don't know what resurrection is. How a dead body can still come back to life. And in the kingdom of darkness, all the computer they have, the artificial intelligence system, till today they've not been able to crack the code of resurrection. And until they are able to crack it, we remain victorious and we have authority over them. Can I tell you the good news? They will never be able to crack it till they get to hellfire. Are you ready to pray tonight? So your life is going to be based on that resurrection power. Listen, that power quickened a dead body. Think of what it will do when it comes into your body. That power made Jesus the life-giving spirit. Not only is he alive, but he now has the ability to give his life. He can transmit what he has to another person. And that person can defy death. Look at John the Beloved, one of the closest disciples to Jesus. This was somebody who wrote about resurrection and experienced it. They tried to kill him many times, but he will not die. They fried him in hot oil. You know what it means to fry a man in hot oil? When was the last time you were frying? Just one drop touched you. You saw the way you jumped as if he was raptured. As if from there, as you jump, you are going to heaven. Then think of submerging a whole body inside oil, hot oil. They brought him out alive. He didn't die. They tied a big stone on his neck, threw him into the sea. He went down to the bottom. He stayed there for 3 days and three nights. They brought him back alive. They put him inside boiling water. Oil, boil and die. He refused to die. Since you know one die, banish him to another island. John was the only apostle that died a natural death. Why? Maybe because he meditated on the power of resurrection. There's something about that power and what it can do to you. When you see God heal people of eye condition, it's not the handkerchief that cleans their eyes. It's the understanding of the one that possesses that handkerchief. That if the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, He that raised Christ from the dead shall again quicken my mortal body. Apostle, I am fine. I don't need healing. I already have good health, but my problem is poverty. Ah, poverty is the least now. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you will become rich. If that power can raise a dead body, that power can come on your dead finances, and you will know that breakthrough is not just a word, it's a reality. Stand on your feet, we are going to pray. He's alive, amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive forever. He's alive. Oh, he's alive.
Say,
sing it to him. You are going to pray now. If this resurrection thing is true, Father, let it be activated in my life. And then listen, you will speak to anything that needs that power in your life. A friend of mine told me the story of a pastor years ago. It was said that this pastor is a son to Papa Ayo Orisha Jaffa. In fact, he told me his name was Apostle Nehemiah. He went for the man's program. The man was invited to Abuja and he was preaching. The man said he was traveling, I think from Yenagoa to Port Harcourt or something, or maybe for a program. Or he was traveling from Port Harcourt back around that axis. And he was driving in the night. And he got to where there was a bend in the road. He was driving in the night. He was just, you know, speaking in tongues and enjoying the presence of God in his car driving. When he got to the bend, he didn't see the bend on time. And as a result, he didn't expect that there would be an oncoming vehicle. When he negotiated the bend, here he was facing a tipper, true story. 10 tires coming right in front of him. What is a bend? You can't, if you move this way, you fall into a ditch. What did he do? He held the steering and shouted, Jesus is alive, and spoke in tongues. You know what? He said when he opened his eyes, he saw the trailer on his side mirror behind him. How he got to the other side, he didn't know. No scratch on his car. I'm talking about a power that makes even non-living things respond. If your finances is powered by this revelation, you will know what Paul meant when he said, my God shall supply. Because it was the same book that Paul said, I will know the power of his resurrection. It was the same book that Paul said, my God will supply all your needs. Do you know what it means to talk to a whole city and say that? Do you know the needs of human beings? Do you know what it means to speak to more than 1,000 people and say, my God shall supply all your needs? I'm talking about a power that by which I can speak right now. And in 24 hours, God can write off a debt of 50 million. I'm talking about a power that I can speak right now. And a shrine in somebody's village will come under destruction. Are you ready to pray this night? Listen, I'm writing a book. I'm still looking for the name. But for now, I called it, He Paid For It, I Claim It. How did I put it, Seth? He Paid For It, I Own It. That's the, and I'm just writing about the benefits of salvation, the benefits of resurrection. Riches is there. Deliverance is there. Now, look at your life. Anything that needs to respond to that power, you are going to do a system upgrade this night. When you buy a new laptop, you upgrade it. When, after a while, you will need to update what is on your phone, isn't it? Now that you have understood that you have such a power in you, The Bible says, and that we will know the exceeding greatness of his power to us world who believe. And this is the power he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The devil was still alive when Jesus rose. The devil was there. He could not do anything. Death was there. He could not do anything. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, death is swallowed up in victory. 48, 49, thereabout. You are going to upgrade your life, upgrade your system. Anything that has not upgraded to respond to the life and the resurrection of Jesus. If you understand that prayer point, open your mouth and begin to pray now. Speak against anything that is not of God. Speak against anything that has refused to hear the word of God and declare the power of resurrection on it. Declare the power of resurrection over your finance, over your career, over your children. Malakaski paladelebo kosupayada. Makete kabaranda karika skipadayada. Speak over that dead business. Come on, you just have 3 minutes. Speak against the idols of your father's house. Speak against those devils of darkness. Speak against that curse of poverty. Open your mouth and cry like a lion, like a warrior that understands who they are and who what they have in Christ Jesus, that understands the power of resurrection. Don't live like a victor. Live like a victor. Insist for a change. Insist for an upgrade. Insist for a shift. Insist for a life of power. You have no rival. You have no equal. You Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all.
Sing it again.
You have no right. Atalaga varakate kosia. You have no Yours is the power. What a powerful name. What a powerful name.
What a powerful name it is. No against them, no pain. What a powerful name it is. No name.
What we have is a life of victory. What we have is a life of authority. The power that is at work in us, that is able to raise even a dead body back to life. Open your mouth and activate that power. Activate it right now. So Brahma Dinabara. Thank you, Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. And nothing can stand against. Not a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is greater and higher than any name. Oh, shut up. It is not an ordinary name. It's the name that's full of power and praise in Jesus' name. When you walk out of this place tonight, walk with the consciousness that that power that resurrected Jesus now lives in you. Nothing in the kingdom is based on feelings. You were not saved by feelings, you were saved by faith. And the just shall live, not by his feelings, by faith. Feelings will come later when you exercise faith. Feelings are a response to active faith. No wonder the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, far above all you can ask or think. And it tells you how he's able to perform that according to the power that is at work in you. What is the power at work in you? The power of resurrection. That means if there's anything bigger than death, that power will not be able to do it. But till tomorrow, if that power can raise the dead, it can quicken your finance. It can bring back a long lost loved one. That's your brother, your sister, your uncle that left home for many years and didn't come back. That power can call them wherever they are and return back this year. That power can bring peace in family chaos. That power can silence the voices of the idols of your father's house. That power will make you walk as more than a conqueror. Never you live your life feeling weak. Live this life as a champion. Live as a victorious man. When you walk around, walk with authority. Authority. Remember I told you the realm of the spirit is command compliant. If you say it and the demons don't move, shout it. Out of him in the name of Jesus. They will respond. I'm telling you, it's coming by the power of resurrection. That's the confidence I move with every day. Wave your hands and give Jesus praise. Because I know he owns my future. My life is one, the living just. Because he lives, because
I can face
tomorrow.
Sing it over yourself. Sing it over your life. Sing it to poverty. Oh, fear is gone. Yeah. Song before we go, because I know that he owns my future. John chapter 14 verse 19, Jesus said, because I live, you shall live. Tell the devil that. Tell poverty that. Look at your one room and speak to it, because very soon you will no longer be there. For it doth not yet appear what we shall be like, but I know how we shall look like, because of the power that is at work in us. He said, my life is worth the living. You are not doing anybody a favor. Nobody's doing you a favor. You are valuable to the kingdom. That's why you are alive. There is value to your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Never you walk around feeling miserable because of your present condition. Be conscious of what you carry inside of you. Father, we give you praise. My life is worth the living, just wave your hands to the King of Kings. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for you, but before I do that, let me even do that. Lift your hands. Father, I activate from today, in the name of Jesus Christ, who died, conquered death, and rose again, I decree and declare, let the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, be activated in their vessels. From today, I activate in your life the miraculous. Step into a life filled with the supernatural. I curse to death anything that is not of God in your life. Let me say it again so that the devils will hear me. I curse to death anything that is not of God in your life. I curse poverty to die in your life. I curse sickness to die in your life. I curse depression to die in your life. I cause joblessness to die in your life. Satanic attacks, demonic onslaught, I cause it to die in your life. I declare to you, come alive in the name of Jesus. You are impregnated with the life and the power of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I declare that you are from today living as more than a conqueror. I declare that you are more than a conqueror. Hear me? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Whether the weapon is being formed or has been formed or will be formed, no juju, no witchcraft, no sorcery, no power of hell, no marine power can stop you from today. You see those dreams where you always fight with people, you are running away from people? This night, go and sleep. You will have the dream again. And this time around, you will be the pursuer. I declare your victory in Christ Jesus. Can I pray for somebody? I don't know, but I'm led to just pray this. Because of the power of resurrection that is inside of you, I activate a 24-hour miracle in your life. I place the favor of God on your life from today. And I demand before the end of tomorrow, let there be a breakout of miracles in your life. So shall it be with you from today. You will heal the sick. You will raise the dead. You will cast out devils. And when you are casting them out, tell them that Jesus and I sent you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will walk tall above situations. It is well with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Before we go, it will be my joy to lead somebody to know Jesus today. Everything that has happened today can only take effect in your life if you come to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Please be upstanding, everybody, and please try to minimize movement. When you return back to Jesus, this is what you stand to enjoy and benefit. As for Satan and sin, they plan to make you live a life of slavery, a beggarly life, a life that makes you subject to human mistakes and errors, a life that makes you feel you are doomed. But in Christ Jesus, you have victory and freedom. I want to lead you to Jesus today so that you can experience that freedom and victory. You are here and you want to have a relationship with Jesus. You want to be born again. Or you want to rededicate your life and be serious with God and have the experience of these things that we are seeing. Or perhaps there are addictions or things you are struggling with and you want to experience true freedom. I'm going to count to five. Pack your bags, your Bibles and anything with you. If you are convinced that I'm talking to you, rush to the front before the last count. And I want us to celebrate them as they come. Don't be ashamed of who is around you. You are running to freedom. You are running to victory. You are running out of defeat to a life of victory. Clap as they come. One. Two. Jesus is calling you, young lady. Three. Jesus is calling you, gentleman. Four. What's this song? 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you and me. Please stretch your hands to these ones in front. I feel that there's one more person that needs to join them. I beg you. Jesus is calling you. Run to the front quickly before the prayer is over. Stretch your hands to them and begin to pray for them. It's one thing to be born again, but it's a different thing to be born again on Easter Sunday. Jesus died so that they can be saved. He died to give you a brand new life. Please put your right hand on your chest and repeat this prayer after me, those of you in front. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died and rose again for my salvation. I receive you today into my heart, and I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Father, I declare by the authority of your word that their sins are forgiven. We declare that they are born again, born of the Spirit, and therefore seal them with your Holy Spirit of promise. We come against addictions, stagnations. The power of witchcraft is broken over their lives. The power of sin, Satan, death, hell and the grave is broken. They will walk in victory from today. And they will draw unto you to know you and serve you all the days of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Please look at me. It's a brand new day for you. You now have a new life. God doesn't give you a new chapter. He gives you a new book. The old book is filled with all kinds of garbage. He wants to give you a brand new life. He wants to take you from where you are to where you ought to be. I want you to do me a favor. Number one, come next Sunday. Come and hear the word of God that will change your life and help you grow. And get to know Jesus as your Lord more and more. He's a real person. He's more real than the people around you. Number two, please turn to your left. Walk following that lady putting on a counseling tag, and our counselors will attend to you and pray with you again briefly. Celebrate them as they go. Hallelujah.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.